Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We still have rain across the area, but notice how it's beginning to taper off. I'll show you when it ends where you are.
Well, the NHL Outdoor Stadium Series gets underway here in Raleigh tomorrow, but today's the day for Carolina Hurricanes fans to enjoy all things hockey.
And it's a day of healing for teachers and students at Durham's Hillside High. We'll show you how students are helping each other through a difficult time.
Well, that rain is falling across much of our viewing area this noon hour. This is a live picture Fayetteville streets right here on the right side of your screen. Downtown Raleigh, a huge celebration is underway for Carolina Hurricanes and the fans. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Rain is falling across much of the viewing area this noon hour. The front will move east of us this evening, taking the rain with it. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at this afternoon's rain timeline.
We'll start off with a look at the radar again. Starting with the big picture, you can still see some more scattered, heavier rain from, say, Goldsboro up the I-95 corridor. But from Raleigh westward, we're seeing the rain really starting to lighten up a good bit. It's not over completely, and the cold front hasn't moved through the area. So once the cold front moves through, we'll start to see drier air moving in, and we can feel pretty confident that that's going to be the end of it. Let's zoom in here, and you can see from Goldsboro to Wilson to Rocky Mount over toward Edgecombe County and up toward Roanoke Rapids. That's where we have more of the steady rain right now. It's pretty patchy from Raleigh to Durham to Oxford back towards Siler City and Sanford. There's another look at the Fan Fest out there. It is breezy. You can see the flags moving around and the tents. We've seen some gusts already up to around 30 miles per hour, but it's not pouring there right now, and it looks like folks are really enjoying whatever's happening on the stage. I know there's several bands that'll be playing and so many things happening. We take a look at Future Cast, and we'll move it on out, and we'll start it here right at lunchtime. You can still see some scattered showers, but notice it doesn't really get heavy at any point. We're just going to see some lingering scattered showers. This is going to be 2:30 in the afternoon. By 4 or 5 o'clock, that front's moving on by, and it takes the rest of the rain with it, and we start to see some clearing. Look at that. The Ferris wheel is moving. It is 65 degrees, but it is breezy. Our wind is southwest at 18, and again, we've seen some gusts 20 to 30 miles per hour. Another stage out here. People are outside enjoying that Fan Fest. Here's a look at temperatures. Right now, we're in the mid-60s, but by the time we see the rain ending, we're going to see temperatures starting to fall into the 50s. It'll be a fairly quick cool down. We'll start to clear out. Temperatures will fall to freezing overnight tonight. That's great for ice, right? We'll talk about what the temperatures will feel like for the big game tomorrow coming up.
And Elizabeth, a few showers can't dampen the mood of those diehard Caniacs down there. Right now, Fan Fest is underway on Fayetteville Street in Raleigh, and WRAL's Brett Neese is down there in the middle of all the excitement, Brett.
Yeah, they're starting their ceremony right now, Jeff, and you can just take a look at how many fans are out here on a Friday afternoon. Governor Cooper said it best that these are not fair weather fans because it is a little bit of a damp afternoon to start things off, but we look at the stage. They have the ceremony going underway. Public address announcer Wade Minter, he's the one that's kind of coordinating all of this. The governor up there on the stage right by the hurricane siren that they're going to sound here in a little bit to really kick this Fan Fest off. They got all of Fayetteville Street blocked off for this just wonderful day, this wonderful celebration of hockey in North Carolina. It's going to be awesome all afternoon long, especially when the sun comes back out. We got a Ferris wheel downtown or down this way on Fayetteville Street. There's food trucks, there's tents, there's merchandise, there's just so much to do down here. It's family friendly, it's free, it's fun. If you have to work today, get off work this afternoon and come down here. This is going to be out here all the way through the evening, through about 9 o'clock. And around that time, about 6 to 7, they're going to have a drone show out behind the Capitol. As you can see, the Ferris wheel down there with the Capitol in the background. There'll be a drone show up behind it, and then they'll finish things off with fireworks at 9 o'clock. I mean, just take a look at how many people are down here already on this Friday afternoon. This really is the culmination of a lot of work. This is going to be a great weekend of hockey. The stadium series tomorrow, but come out and celebrate the Canes and the city of Raleigh, really, today, this afternoon. Come out and join us.
All right, Brett, Governor Cooper with the Canes sweater on. We know he's a big fan. So Brett Neese live on Fayetteville Street. Thanks for that.
One of the biggest.
And tens of thousands of Canes fans are expected to pack into the parking lot tomorrow at PNC Arena ahead of the game between the Washington Capitals and the Carolina Hurricanes. This was what it looked like at Carter-Finley Stadium this morning as workers tried to keep the rainwater off the ice ahead of the game. If you don't have to be in the area, we suggest you avoid it. Parking will be first come, first served. Ryan Schrader explains how you can find a spot.
Let's talk about Carter-Finley congestion over the years. In 2009, U2 fans got stuck in at least 5 miles of traffic jams trying to get to the stadium on time. And then in 2016, bad weather and heavy rush hour traffic kept many fans from getting to Beyoncé's Carter-Finley show. And officials are trying to prevent a repeat of these disappointments. This is not going to be like a typical NC State game. Officials are expecting big delays as they navigate different parking and security protocols. And they're telling fans to get to the stadium early. The puck doesn't drop until 8, but lots will open at 2 p.m. Don't worry about getting there so early because there are going to be plenty of activities planned at PNC Arena through the afternoon to keep you entertained. Parking is general admission with no assigned spots, so be patient and follow directions. Get with your friends and consider carpooling to reduce congestion heading to the game. Also, you might want to use park and ride lots. There's one at Edwards Mill Road and Reedy Creek Roads near the arena, and then another at Chapel Hill Road at I-40 between Raleigh and Cary. However you decide to get there, just be sure to get there early. And go Canes. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Get there safely and then have a great time. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, WRAL's Keenan Willard shows us how crews are putting the finishing touches on the ice at Carter-Finley for the big matchup between the Capitals and the Canes.
Students at Durham's Hillside High School are remote learning today, focusing on healing. Just yesterday, their classmate Anthony Feaster was laid to rest. He was murdered near the school 9 days ago. WRAL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger is live from the school to tell us about the support system for students. Sarah?
Jeff, we know that DPS has resources, including counselors, to help students cope with these difficult situations. There is also a nonprofit group that's comprised of adults and some students here at Hillside that really works to support each other peer to peer. And in fact, one of the things that that group pushed for is today's remote learning.
Been an emotional 2 weeks at Hillside High School. On February 8th, two students were shot during the school day right by campus. One of them, 17-year-old Anthony Feaster, died.
A lot of fights have been happening. People are just very upset, angry, and don't know where to take it out at.
Jalea Alston is a student at Hillside who is part of a nonprofit called TRY, Together for Resilient Youth. The group operates in a number of schools aimed at having peer-to-peer conversations to prevent issues like substance abuse and violence. She says the group's members started a petition for a remote learning day to help ease some of the stress. The success in achieving that is just one example, she says, of the power of their voices.
It sometimes makes me want to cry because I feel like we're going to do so great in life, and there's nothing that's going to stop us.
And you love to see that optimism. She feels like the group is really having an impact here at Hillside. As far as the shooting last week, I checked in with the Durham Police Department today to ask if they have any suspects or anyone in custody. All they would say is that it is an active investigation. Jeff.
Hopefully that group catches on with its message. Sarah Kruger, live for us this noon. Sarah, thank you.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we have an update to a story that we've been following since yesterday, that fatal shooting in Durham on Park Avenue that claimed the life of one man. This afternoon, police have identified the victim as 64-year-old Jose Manuel Caceres Murillo of Durham. Yesterday, they arrived at the 800 block of Park Avenue just after 8 a.m. That is where they found him. We are working to learn of any suspects in this case. As soon as I have that information, I'll bring it to you live from the Live Center.
Five Memphis police officers pleaded not guilty to criminal charges in connection to the death of Tyree Nichols. Each faces numerous charges, including second-degree murder. A conviction of second-degree murder in Tennessee is punishable by up to 65 years in prison. The officers were part of a unit launched in 2021 to take on a rise of violent crime. The chief says the unit will be permanently deactivated. All five are due back in court May 1st.
A Durham County paramedic is on administrative leave after a supervisor discovered an issue with evidence. The supervisor says that contained a controlled substance showing evidence of tampering. Durham County EMS notified the Durham County Sheriff's Office. The paramedic was placed on administrative leave pending completion of the investigation. Breaking news, firefighters have been working to put out the flames at a home in Johnston County. This was what it looked like on Marcellus Way in Clayton about an hour ago. As you can see, the roof was destroyed. Flames spread across much of the top floor. The residents were not home when the fire broke out. A neighbor saw the flames in an upstairs window and called 911. Many fire departments were called in to help shuttle water because there are no fire hydrants nearby. The house does have heavy damage. The Red Cross is helping the two adults and two children who are now without a home.
Power's back on across Wake and Johnston counties after a widespread outage overnight. We got a lot of calls about this in the overnight hours. More than 10,000 customers lost electricity. The WRL Breaking News Tracker spoke to Duke Energy crews about the outage. We were told this was a technical issue at a nearby substation. Crews restored power around 1 a.m. Next at noon, dog flu is on the rise. The reminder from experts to pet owners and the question of whether dog flu can be passed on to people.
Also, it's a first for Raleigh hosting an NHL outdoor game. How to find your way around all the expected traffic headed to PNC and Carter Finley.
Well, it's a nationwide shortage of a critical drug to treat ADHD. At 12:30, the tough decisions people who need the drug are forced to make.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
There is no alternative to Ukrainian victory. That was the message today from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky speaking to leaders at the Munich Security Conference. Zelensky told the leaders that Europe and freedom cannot be the subject of compromise. The Ukrainian president reminded the gathering that David defeated Goliath not by the power of conversation, but by the power of these actions, by courage and the sling.
We need to hurry up. We need the speed of our agreements, speed of our delivery to strengthen our sling, speed of decisions to limit Russian potential.
Meantime, Russia has switched its aerial strike tactics to fool Ukraine's air defenses, using decoy missiles without explosive warheads and deploying balloons. Russia seems to be changing tactics as the war approaches its one-year anniversary in exactly 1 week. Almost 2 weeks after powerful earthquakes struck the region, people in Turkey are scrambling for shelter and basic supplies. This comes as rescue and search and recovery teams are still pulling survivors from the rubble. Overnight, a child, a woman, and two men were found alive in that wreckage. Officials are still working to find space and resources for the thousands of people injured and hospitalized. The influx of patients has prompted a medical supply shortage. In response, the UN asked for $1 billion to help. On top of this, freezing winter temperatures are delaying relief efforts as millions of people are now displaced.
Some breast cancer patients may be able to skip radiation therapy after surgery. Researchers say that for women age 65 and older, bypassing radiation after surgery for small hormone-positive breast cancer tumors does not appear to affect their overall survival rate. However, skipping radiation may be associated with a higher risk of cancer returning to the same breast. Radiation can cause hair loss, breast pain, and fatigue. Dog flu cases are on the rise in parts of the U.S., and veterinarians are recommending that owners get their pets vaccinated. Canine influenza is a respiratory disease in dogs, which varies from seasonal flu viruses. The CDC says symptoms include cough, runny nose, fever, and a reduced appetite. Vets say it's unlikely for dogs to pass canine influenza to humans.
Well, the final stages of preparations at Carter Finley Stadium for tomorrow's Stadium Series game. 1 day, 7 hours. Traffic will be building earlier in the day as thousands of people gather for the pregame fan fest. WRL's Keenan Willard is at PNC Arena now with a look inside at the action.
1 day before puck drop, they're still making preparations here to fix the ice up in advance of tomorrow's Stadium Series game. Outside the stadium, though, they're also getting ready for thousands of fans to arrive for the Fan Fest. Now, this event's only going to be for people who have tickets to the Stadium Series game. It's not open to the public, but still thousands of people are expected to come out. Around 2 o'clock, it's going to begin, and lasting up until 7:30, there's going to be booths for food and drinks, games, and even a booth to pose with the Stanley Cup, which is going to be back with its rightful owners, the 2006 World Champions. Now, along with all of the excitement, we're expecting to see some traffic disruptions as a result for those thousands of people flocking to this area. And also coming to an event where parking is going to be first come, first served. We're expecting to see backups around the Wade Avenue area, around Blue Ridge, Trinity, those major thoroughfares surrounding the Carter Finley and PNC Arena area. So drivers tomorrow could be expecting to see backups and should maybe avoid this area. Although overall, event organizers are hoping this is just going to be a great run-up to tomorrow night's event.
We have hockey games, one right behind me, which is the Accuracy Challenge. We have lots of sponsor activities with stick and hands where you can test your skills and try your trick shots.
I think we're all just excited for outdoor hockey to finally be a reality in Raleigh tomorrow night. The Fan Fest out there is going to wrap up about half an hour before puck drop. We are excited to see this thing get underway. Keenan Willard, WREL News.
We saw a typical Zamboni out there on the ice, but they also had another machine that's a squeegee to get the water off it. That rainwater is the most damaging thing for the ice.
Right, and then we'll have the cooler temperatures in time for the game tomorrow, so that will work out just fine. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, though, tracking that rain that's moving across the viewing area, not putting a damper on any of the festivities for FanFest.
Yeah, they're all out there, aren't they? That's great. I was surprised, too, that they didn't cover the ice. Instead, they're just trying to push the water off of it. There's probably not going to be a whole lot more water that falls on the ice rink. We are looking at a few scattered showers back to the west. The cold front's moving through across the area right now and may not fire up another big round of widespread rain, but we still have the potential for a few showers until that front is all the way past. Right now, we're looking at the biggest area of rain right now between, say, eastern Wilson County up into Edgecombe County, Halifax, Northampton counties. But that's moving out pretty quickly, and behind it, it's just scattered at best. And of course, that doesn't seem to be bothering anyone in downtown Raleigh at FanFest. It's a little bit breezy. You can see some of the flags again moving around. I'll show you what our wind gusts are in just a second. But not strong enough to bother any of the tents that are there on Fayetteville Street or any of the fans either. Here's a look at our front as it's moving across our area right now. Notice back behind it, there's still a little bit of rain, but that rain is really patchy and light. We don't have real heavy rain coming in behind this front. It's likely to just be patchy. That's what we're seeing here on FutureCast. FutureCast kicking things off right now. A few light showers will continue to move in and out of the area for the next few hours. I mean, even as late as 4 or 5 o'clock, we could be seeing some showers mostly east of Raleigh. So again, it's going to be fairly light. If you're going to be headed down to downtown Raleigh sometime in the next couple of hours, you're going to be probably happy to have that raincoat just in case there are a few sprinkles. It's a little bit drizzly in some places. And then finally, once we get past 5 o'clock, that should be the end of the rain. We'll start to see clearing skies, but we'll also start to see our temperatures taking a big drop. Right now, we're checking out what's happening here as we're looking down toward the Capitol building right by the Ferris wheel, 65 degrees right now. But temperatures will start to drop pretty quickly this afternoon. Once the rain really ends around 4 or 5, our temperatures start to drop into the 50s and on into the 40s. And as a matter of fact, we're going to drop down to around freezing overnight tonight, which will be very good for the ice. Here's a look at our wind gusts. The white box on the right, we're gusting to 30 right now in Rocky Mount, 21 in South Hill, 17 in Roxboro. And our winds are steady at 15 to 20 out of the southwest. So we're still seeing these breezy and warm conditions. The winds will start to die down somewhat this evening and even more for tomorrow. Heading out right now, temperatures are mostly in the low to mid 60s. But look at that. It's 70 degrees right now in Clinton. It will be much cooler tomorrow. Mostly sunny skies. Going to be a beautiful day, but close to normal at 55. And then we begin a warm up on Sunday. If you're headed out for those fan festivities that Keenan was talking about, temperatures will be in the mid 50s. But once we get to game time at 8 o'clock, we drop into the mid 40s and then low 40s by the time the game is over. We'll see partly cloudy skies even during the evening hours. So it's going to feel like winter there just for Saturday. 55 is pretty close to our normal high for this time of year. We warm back up to 60 on Sunday and then much warmer temperatures next week. We've added an 80 degree day to the forecast. If we hit that 81, it would be the first 80 degree reading this year.
Winter hockey just for, the winter temperatures right for the weekend, and then we rebound back. Nice. Well, Raleigh is working to make the road safer for you and your family with the ultimate goal of eliminating deadly crashes. Tonight at 5:30, we'll show you how an $800,000 grant is helping to get it done.
Well, still ahead this noon, minimum wage is going up, but clearly not enough. The surprising finding of a living wage calculator for the nation.
And no service for children under 10 years old. A restaurant stands by its decision. The offer another chain restaurant is making to help families with young children. Welcome back. This is a live look at Durham at the American Tobacco Campus. We have gray skies out there. It is still warm, but we're already hitting our high temperatures for the day. The afternoon temperatures will start to tumble and it'll be close to freezing tonight. Green vehicles dominate the list of Consumer Reports top picks, and a new study shows higher minimum wages still aren't enough. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
This year, minimum wage workers in 23 states and Washington, D.C. got a raise January 1st. Average new hourly rates range from $9.95 to just over $16. Still, a new study by CNBC shows many single full-time minimum wage workers can't cover the basics like food, housing, and childcare. Using MIT's living wage calculator, CNBC found that no state currently offers a minimum wage on par with the living wage necessary for that state. The federal minimum has been stalled at $7.25 since 2009. Four more states are set to raise their minimums by year's end. Consumer Reports announced its annual list of top 10 picks for new cars, trucks, and SUVs Thursday, with hybrids and electric vehicles taking seven of those slots. The vehicles are graded on various categories, including road tests, safety features, and owner satisfaction. Toyota Corolla Hybrid, Subaru Forester, the Nissan Leaf, and Ford's Maverick Hybrid were among winners under $35,000. For the full list, visit consumerreports.com. Tesla is voluntarily recalling over 362,000 vehicles over concerns their experimental driver assistance software may lead to collisions. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says Tesla's full self-driving beta, or FSD, programming could cause some vehicles to act unsafe around intersections, such as driving straight through or ignoring some traffic signals and stop signs. The FSD beta might also fail to respond to changes in posted speed limits. According to the recall notice, Tesla says it can deliver a wireless software update to any of the affected models. Nestle, the world's largest food company, says it will raise prices on many of its 2,000 brands this year. This follows an average 8.2% price increase last year. Nestle says those hikes weren't enough to offset its own costs, but the higher prices could drive customers away. Nestle admits it lost sales volume in the second half of 2022 over the increases, and they're not alone. Several competing food manufacturers have signaled that they too will boost prices this year. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Lego is singing the praises of South Korean boy band BTS. The Lego Ideas BTS Dynamite set goes on sale in early March. It features all seven members of the band on the video set of their hit single Dynamite. The 749-piece set uses scenes from the video and was created by a pair of Lego fans. The price tag is a whopping $100.
Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking the rain moving across our viewing area. After the break, she'll have your Fan Fest forecast as you take a live look at the activities on Fayetteville Street.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
And thanks for staying with us. A lot of people are enjoying the Carolina Hurricanes Fan Fest right now in downtown Raleigh, but spotty showers will stay with us this afternoon.
And those wind gusts will be pretty powerful as well ahead of the coming cold. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Kind of hard to switch gears. You know, yesterday we were in the 70s. We're, you know, in the mid-60s right now. But tomorrow is going to feel nothing like that. We're going to feel like winter again just for a day or so. Right now we're checking the radar, and you can see just a few isolated showers out there. That band of steadier rain is really starting to move out of the region. We'll back up and take a closer look around the triangle. And there are just a few patchy showers showers out there. That's likely all we'll see. So if you're going to be headed down to FanFest or doing something this evening, you want to just grab a raincoat. You may need it. Really, by the time we get to 5 o'clock, all the rain should be out of here. Skies will begin to clear, and that's when temperatures will really start to fall. It's going to be a breezy afternoon. Our best chance of rain will be between now and say 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we'll see a significant drop. But even this, 70 to 80% chance at this point is just going to be some light patchy rain. It's not stopping the Ferris wheel. There it goes, and they're setting up for a band there on Fayetteville Street. 65 is the temperature. It's breezy, of course. Our southwest wind at about 18 miles per hour, and we've seen some gusts up to 60, 65 miles per hour. Once we get to the middle of the afternoon, we'll slowly begin to see the temperatures dropping, but they'll drop a lot faster once we get past sunset through the 50s and into the 40s. We'll take another look at the forecast for tomorrow. If you're headed out to the stadium and you want to know what it will feel like at game time, I'll show you.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, a big update to a story we've been following. A former Goldsboro teacher accused of molesting students more than 20 years ago. We've learned Warren Riley has entered into an Alford plea to 2 counts of indecent liberties with a child. This essentially means he is maintaining his innocence, but he admits that prosecution's evidence would likely result in a guilty verdict if it was brought to trial. Riley has been charged with several counts of taking indecent liberties with a child. He was a teacher at Faith Christian Academy in Wayne County. He was arrested back in August of 2020. The jury has been deliberating since Tuesday.
Michelle, thanks. There's a nationwide shortage of a critical drug used to treat ADHD in both children and adults. In recent years, prescriptions for Adderall and similar drugs have jumped dramatically, but supplies aren't keeping up. Tom Costello examines the tough decisions some people who need the medication are forced to make.
For adults and children who need it, Adderall, other ADHD meds, and the generics can make all the difference in concentrating, multitasking, and lowering overall stress. But today, millions of Americans can't fill their prescriptions amid a nationwide shortage.
It's very hard to concentrate and remember things.
Near San Francisco, single mom Lisa Javaharian and her doctor have been struggling to find pharmacies with the Adderall that both Lisa and her 14-year-old son rely on.
I'm kind of thinking of rationing now, but I don't know how that's going to affect myself as well as my son. He is more important, so I'd rather not ration him.
Adderall and similar meds have officially been in short supply for nearly 6 months.
I've been practicing medicine for 25 years. There's never been a shortage like this.
97% of community pharmacists report a shortage. Teva Pharmaceuticals, the prime supplier of Adderall, says manufacturing problems are mostly resolved. But demand has jumped dramatically. U.S. prescriptions more than doubled in the past 12 years, with a big surge during the pandemic when doctors were seeing patients remotely. Because Adderall can be abused, the DEA sets strict production quotas.
It's almost similar to trying to stop drunk driving by not allowing the sale of cars. People who need these medications no longer have access to them because of these quotas.
That was Tom Costello reporting. The DEA says most manufacturers have plenty of supply and have not fully hit their supply quota for 3 years. But clearly, demand seems to be outstripping supply.
Wake County public libraries are now accepting the use of community IDs. We're talking about the Faith Action ID issued by El Pueblo to undocumented migrants. Now people with the IDs can get a library card to access free services at local libraries. So far, El Pueblo has issued almost 800 IDs in our area. The next ID drive will be on February 24th from 1:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Center for Hispanic Families. Registration is encouraged. Meantime, friends of the Durham Library are hosting a book sale today and tomorrow. The sale is happening at the Books Among Friends store on South Roxborough Street. It'll be open from 4 to 7 tonight for members only, with memberships available at the door. Tomorrow's hours, 10 to 4. All proceeds from the sale will go toward programming at the library. Not even a few showers can dampen the mood of diehard Caniacs fans. Right now, FanFest is underway in Fayetteville Street in Raleigh. And WRL's Brett Neese is live right in the middle of all that excitement, Brett.
Yeah, Jeff, it is a lot of excitement and no dampened moods here. Take a look behind me. They got a Zamboni here on Fayetteville Street you can get your picture with and get up there in the seat like you're driving it on the ice. It's great. I mean, people are loving this. They have all kinds of food trucks lining the street as well. And if we turn all the way down here, I mean, just take a look at how many people are down here. There's a couple thousand people that are out here on a Friday afternoon. The rain's moved out. We're having just so much fun celebrating the Canes, but also celebrating Raleigh, North Carolina. And that's really what the message has been from a lot of the people that have organized this stadium series, is that this is going to put Raleigh and North Carolina on the global stage. But to kick things off, take a look at what Governor Roy Cooper got to do just a few moments ago. Yes, that's Governor Cooper sounding the siren. I just talked to him after that as well. He told me that he has done that about four other times. And in the games that he has sounded the siren, the Canes, they're undefeated. He said he doesn't know if that counts for tomorrow's game since they're going to have a different siren sounder, but he's hoping that's going to bring some good luck. Of course, the Canes taking on the Washington Capitals over at Carter-Finley tomorrow at 8 o'clock. But come down here and celebrate the Canes, celebrate North Carolina and Raleigh here this afternoon, Jeff.
We'd like to count it just to get a jump on things, right? Brett Neese, live on Fayetteville Street for us this noon. Brett, thanks.
Still to come, the criticism that came after a Tennessee state lawmaker chose to wear this to a swearing-in ceremony. How the representative defended his decision.
And a 9-year-old girl's efforts to rid her town of an invasive bug species gets recognized by Yale University. How the Ivy League school is encouraging and supporting her after she was racially profiled by her neighbor who called the police. WRL app delivers coverage you can count on wherever you are. You can watch our newscast live anytime on your favorite device. Really can't get enough of this view. This is Fayetteville Street from our WRL Live Cam Network. Fan Fest going on down there. A little rain won't stop that crowd. It's awesome as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. What makes a person brilliant? Believe it or not, we all have special gifts just waiting to be exposed. Our guests pride themselves on connecting the threads that weave through communities to help them institute better practices for sustainable partnerships. Welcome Shemeka Ebony and Michael Stewart Isaacs. Thank you both for joining us. Ladies first, Shemeka, how did you come up with the idea for this business?
This was a passion project for me, centered around the community engagement initiatives that I do under my firm. We really wanted to remind people that we all illuminate with what we're passionate about. And once we get an opportunity to plug it into community, we become the creation of the change that we want to see.
Well, a lot of beautiful pictures.
We're super excited.
Yeah, Michael, go ahead. The beautiful pictures we're seeing right here.
I was just saying, just looking at the work we've done, our goal has just been really about empowering. We wanted to create a safe space for people in community to realize that everything we do in our community, the skills and talents we have, is where we should be leaders, right? Whenever people answer the question of what makes them brilliant, once you answer it, that space that you feel most comfortable is where you should be a leader in your community.
It's certainly Absolutely. A great goal for the company. Shemeka, just last week, you served as a panelist at a prestigious convention. Tell us about that.
Yes, the BEA Conference is a conference that brings all together Black engineers from across the country and spotlight HBCUs to give job opportunities to college students and increase the pathways to STEM for young people transitioning. It was really special for me because I was there as a student, as a middle schooler, thanks to my mentor, Nate Voss, that had the opportunity for me in middle school. So to come back exactly 30 years later as a panelist was really special to me.
It also has to be special, Shemeka, because you're from Kinston, okay? So a native North Carolinian going home soon for a very special event as well, right?
Absolutely. The John F. Dubb Research Group has brought together an opportunity to honor a Kinston native. Mr. John F. Dubb is a patent holder of 6 different patents and is dubbed the founder and pioneer of the CD, something that we use so much. Little known fact is that it was by originated with Mr. John Dubb, who was a physicist, a business leader, a community engager, philanthropist, and so many more. So we want to spotlight this. We're bringing in his granddaughter, only living survivor, family member, to bring her back home to her roots in Kinston, North Carolina.
Michael, do you guys have some social media handles where folks can get in touch with you?
Yes, we love the opportunity for people to stay and connect with us. We work with opportunities to work with clients to help them in the DEI space. A lot of what we try to do is create positive thinking. A lot of times we talk about mental health. So if you want to stay connected with us, please go to iambrilliant.org. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as iambrilliant. You are too. So you can find us up there as well too. Look up the hashtag iambrilliant. And we look forward to continue to illuminate people's gifts and talents to allow them to just keep empowering their families, their communities and companies. You know, we're all about economic development, and we want to continue to show people how to use their gifts and talents to be more productive even for their organizations.
Well, I love the Absolutely. Way the name of it makes it sound.
If anyone's interested in joining us to honor Mr. John F. Dove, the Kinston native, we're going to be meeting February 26th at 3 p.m. in Kinston. You can email us an RSVP at connect@iambrilliant.org.
All right.
All right.
Forward to talking to you.
Shemeka and Michael, thank you both so much. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend and
thank
good
you
luck.
For giving us a platform.
Certainly.
Yes. And y'all thank you. Take care.
You got it.
And speaking of gifts and talents, a 9-year-old girl stepped up to stomp out an invasive bug species.
We all could do our part to save the ecosystem.
And now she's being honored by one of the nation's top universities. Plus, a first-term state representative says his choice of clothing caused quite the controversy. The response from veteran lawmakers. Welcome back. Check out our live camera from Dorothea Dix Park. And it kind of looks like snow, but of course, it's way too warm for that to happen. No, just seeing some heavy rain there right now.
Yeah, the cool down comes in the hours to come. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center with these showers that just keep training across here.
So the radar looks just like it did when we checked in with it about 10 minutes or so ago. But we just happened to be able to catch that little spot with our camera. And it's isolated. It's scattered. And there's, you know, we'll probably continue to see some waves of this for the next several hours. It may be, you know, 2-3 o'clock in some places before we really start to see it tapering off. And even to the east, say Fayetteville, Goldsboro, over toward Edgecombe County, could be closer to 4 o'clock before it's completely out of here. But it's not anything that's going to be sustained heavy. We take a look at how much we've seen so far, and the biggest totals were north of I-85. And you can see in a few spots there in Orange County, we had up to 3/4 of an inch. There in Granville County, a little over 1/2 inch, and in Warren County, a little under 1/2 inch. A lot of places from the Triangle area south and east so far, though, have seen less than 1/4 of an inch of rain. So it hasn't been a whole lot of rain. We've had some heavier showers up to the north. We take a look at what's going on out there, and it is damp almost everywhere at this point. Almost everybody's seen some rain. Goldsboro is a little bit breezy. Apex looking wet. There's some water on the camera lens. Here's a look at Chapel Hill and Durham. So definitely we have damp conditions. It's not too chilly out there. We're watching that front sweep on through. Here's the back edge of the rain. We'll watch the end of the loop. Appeared. It looks like the rain is really over all the way to, say, Guilford County. So, honestly, another hour to 2 hours, and the bulk of this, I think, is going to just go ahead and move on out. But take a look at Futurecast, and you can see Futurecast at 2:30. A lot of the showers are down to the south and east, Goldsboro, Clinton, Rocky Mount, and that may be the end of it. Futurecast wants to pop up another little shower between 4 and 5 o'clock. But I really feel like, you know, in the Triangle, you know, 2 to 3 o'clock, that may be the end of it, with a little bit of lingering shower activity down to the south and east. Once we see the end of the rain, the temperatures will start to fall. We're still in the 60s right now, but late afternoon, we begin to drop into the 50s. And then about the time Fan Fest wraps up at 9 o'clock, we'll be in the 40s. So if you're headed down there after work, definitely want to bring along a jacket. It's going to be a chilly day tomorrow for the game, but beautiful. We'll see lots of sunshine. Obviously, you're going to be dressed warmly for game time. Game puck drop 44 degrees, and at the end of the game, around 40. And we will drop down to the 30s overnight tomorrow night. Tonight, we're going to drop down to 31, and that's great because that's going to help to, you know, keep the ice nice and cold. We'll see a little sunshine Saturday, but things will be great for that. And a lot of folks have President's Day off by then. Look at that. We're back to almost 70, 70 Tuesday and Wednesday. Could be a little shower Tuesday, but check out Thursday. Thursday looks dry with a high of 81. February? Everything's blooming. What in the world? I don't know.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, East Garner Magnet Middle School is under a code red lockdown right now. This is their website telling parents all students are safe. Do not come to campus. When you click on that link, it says this is an update. All students are safe. There has not been any act of violence at our school. They are on lockdown due to a threat that was made on social media. They say they are asking for cooperation as they work through this. Again, they are asking don't come to campus. They are currently under a code red lockdown. WREL's Matt Tallhelm is on his way to the scene, and he'll have an update for us coming up at 4 o'clock.
Thanks, Michelle. A Tennessee representative says he was criticized for wearing a traditional African garment as a way to honor his ancestors during a swearing-in ceremony earlier this month. Justin Pearson says one of his GOP colleagues told him that due to tradition, male lawmakers have to wear suits and ties while on the House floor. Pearson says there's nothing in the rules about attire at all. Pearson says he still plans to keep wearing what's known as a dashiki, but will also wear a jacket and tie so that he can be recognized when speaking on the floor.
A girl in New Jersey who loves to study insects was racially profiled while applying a homemade spray on a type of invasive flies. And now Yale University is replacing that bad memory of that day with a special honor for the girl. Maya Eaglin shows us how the science community rallied behind this budding scholar.
Is it gonna go in? Yeah!
9-year-old Bobby Wilson is an environmental enthusiast. Last October, she set out on a mission to get rid of spotted lantern flies in her hometown of Caldwell, New Jersey.
I started seeing like a lot of posters saying like, if you see this animal, stomp it.
The state of New Jersey has a campaign called Stomp It Out, which encourages residents to kill the invasive species if they spot them. Bobby learned about the campaign in school and went out to help with her own homemade bug spray.
I had my paper that I would write on it to show like how many I saw in there, and after I sprayed it, how many were left.
But Bobby's efforts were cut short when her neighbor reported her to the police.
There's a little black woman walking and spraying stuff on the sidewalks and trees.
Bobby's mother says what began as innocent fun quickly turned into something much more serious when the police officer told her why he was called.
How did the event unfold for you that day? What were you feeling?
What I can tell you is it took my breath away. Like, I was immediately in tears.
The neighbor's lawyer didn't give a comment to NBC News, but told CNN his client has apologized.
My name is Monique.
Monique took to her local city council to speak out against the incident.
Racism, intentional or not, is still racism. I'm not here to label anyone, only to share my point of view as a black woman, a black mother, and a black resident in this town.
The meeting went viral and caught the attention of Yale School of Public Health Assistant Professor Ijoma Opara.
Immediately I saw that video, I was hurt. I took it personally, not only as a New Jersey native, not only as a black woman, but as somebody who does this work.
Dr. Opara arranged an all-black female-led science tour and a ceremony honoring Bobby for her environmental work.
I knew that I wanted to do something to change this memory that Bobby could have, you know, with the police being called on her.
Bobby's personal spotted lanternfly collection was inducted into Yale's Peabody Museum, making the fourth grader an official donor scientist.
Hope she stays above all that and continues with her scientific research there.
Yeah, Bobby will also be honored at New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy's Black History Month event on Tuesday. We'll have a look at your top stories after the break.